And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and streaming online at WVLP.org. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of News Perspectives Photography, here alongside with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our 2018 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and of course our landlord, Walt Breitner. If you want to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager and engineer on our show today and every day. If you'd like to be a guest or want to send us information about your arts or arts-related event, you send us an email at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. By the way, our program is rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. But now we're going to do our arts calendar for this, and we'll start with Porter County. Valparaiso University Brower Museum actually is just shut down their exhibit, and they're going to reopen in January, but they still have in the Strumbeau Gallery Asher Yates on the second floor, and that's part of the veterans exhibit. They'll be there. Also, Krista Steinke, Good Luck with the Sun and Other Work continues through the end of the month. The Ellen Firma Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores will now feature the work of Holly Jackson, December through the end of January. And it has a variety of her paintings from 2018, so you can see how her New Horizon works and things like that. The Village Gallery at Pines will now feature Lori Shimmer Carpenter, December 9th through January 17th, and she's an oil artist. Chesterton Arts Center continues with the Duneland Plein Air member exhibit throughout December, closing on the 24th, and the Dune Air artists are from all over Northwest Indiana. The Chesterton Arts Center also offers classes. In fact, they're enrolling new classes coming up for the winter session in 2019. Uptown Cafe continues with their Liz Warfel exhibit through the end of December. She's a local artist. Art Barn will be featuring A Christmas Carol, a one-man adaptation by Grant Fitch. They'll be on December 15th, 7 to 9 p.m. Adults are $10, $5 for kids under 12. Memorial Opera House Foundation are busy, and the Limelight Youth Theater will present the hashtag MOH Mistletoe Saturday, December 15th. Noon is a cookie walk, and showtime's at 1 o'clock. Then on Wednesday, December 19th, Memorial Opera House will sing and dance our way into the Christmas season with a spectacular cabaret. You can find out information at memorialoperahouse.com. And now, Esther's going to take you to LaPorte County and what's going on there.
I know. We have small calendars this week. So the Lubeznik Center for the Arts, Waiting for a Sign, is their current exhibit, and it continues the exploration of the use of signage, text, and iconographic visual images and symbols in the works of eight contemporary artists in the Heinemann, Brinca Cross, and Susan Block Galleries, and that exhibit runs through January 12th. The Southern Shore Art Association, the December holiday exhibit is The Gift of Art, and it continues to the end of the month. Plus, they have expanded offerings in their gift shop. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street in Michigan City. For more information, please visit their website, southernshoreartassociation.com, or visit their Facebook page. The SFC Gallery has the Dig the Dunes 2019 calendar, and they're exhibiting the winning photographer's work through the end of December. And my co-host, Larry Breckner, has an image in that gallery called Washington Park Dune Dusk. So it's the July page of that calendar. The Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and they've been there since 2004. They're hosting Blue Christmas. It's the 14th annual holiday exhibition with a wide variety of work from Indiana-based artists as well as artists from Chicago, Milwaukee, New York, New Jersey, Vermont, and England. The exhibition runs through January 5th. The gallery hours are from 10 to 3 on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting new works, paintings, drawings, and sculptures by Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. The Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street in Michigan City. Their December exhibit is Joy to the World, and that's a mixed media exhibit. Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street. This is the last few days of David and Margie Kreiner's exhibit. December 16th will be the last day of that exhibit. David is exhibiting his abstract work, and Margie has her geometric paintings. 6:15, Michigan City Toastmasters meets every first and third Monday of the month. Next meeting is Monday, December 17th. Become a better communicator and leader with Toastmasters. January 26th, Captain Ambivalence Every Kind of Talent Show will be happening. We're trying to bring back Vaudeville. February 9th, Captain Ambivalence Fear the Accordion. In the Nest, we also have ongoing piano lessons with Miss Lissa Krause, and that's by appointments. Details can be found on our Facebook page, The Nest, Michigan City. And now we have Lake County.
Lake County. Thank you, Esther. Well, Lake County, ironically, we're going to be starting with South Shore Arts. First of all, registration is now open for the winter class sessions beginning on January 7th. You can contact South Shore Art Facebook or go to their website for details. Continuing in the gallery through January 29th is Indy Windy, a love story. It was curated by Ish Mohammed, so you can go see that while it's still in there. They have large public work arts create new environments. The Atrium Gallery, well, actually, it's the Northwest Indiana Symphony Women's Society Festival of Trees, so you want to see a variety of trees, you can go see that there. Crown Point Branch, Matt Barrett Kolowski, Wildscapes is continuing through January 5th. In the Toll Theater in January is Lori Schimmer Carpenter, Oils There also. She's getting around quite a bit. That's what's going on there. 119th Street Artists, the Oliver Brown Juried Exhibit continues through January 16th at the Cornerstone Gallery. That's in the bank building there, at 119th Street and New York, Centier Bank. And they're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 12. Studio 659 continues with their children's exhibit, Art for Artists Under Age 18. They're open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. You can find information at studio659.org. Indiana Ballet Theater is performing their 21st annual performance of The Nutcracker, doing it throughout the various portions of Northwest Indiana. But November 15th, 14th and 15th, which is left on their schedule, they'll be at Indiana University Northwest Theater. You can contact them on their Facebook page, Indiana Ballet Theater, or ibtnw.org. The Northwest Indiana Symphony, by the way, will be doing their second Holiday Pops concert. And it will feature the Munster High School Chorale, Jesse Donner as a tenor, the Northwest Indiana Suzuki School, and the Symphony Chorus. And they'll be there Friday, December 14th, 7:30 p.m. at the auditorium at Valparaiso High School. And then Miller Beach Arts and Creative District will feature Kevin Ferme. He'll be on exhibit all of December through January 6th at the Marshall Gardner Center for the Arts. He has 38 new drawings, 28 sculptures on display. You can contact millerbeacharts.org or go to their Facebook page, Miller Beach Arts and Creative District on Facebook. And so that's what's going on in Lake County. And while we have just a minute here, we'd like to remind people that WVLP is supported by the various people that make it up. And though our community campaign is actually officially closed, you can always contribute. If you'd like to show support for Esther and myself doing art on the air, we're looking for underwriters that would do that or for the station in general. Our campaign is kind of going all the time, but if you want to be part of WVLP's mission here, we have underwriting levels. You can go to WVLP.org/support and support us in whatever level you can. If you're a listener and find yourself tuning in, whether on the air or streaming, be a supporter of our station. And remember, something I always like to say, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And join the WVLP family. So now our guest today, ironically, is from South Shore Arts, and it's Donna Catalano. She is the development special projects director for South Shore Arts, which now also includes the symphony for quite a few years.
Yeah.
So,
South Shore Arts took over the management of the Northwest Indiana Symphony, I think it was in 2009.
Right.
So we merged the board, so the symphony became a committee on South Shore Arts board, but they did retain their separate 501c3 statuses.
Very good. So let's talk a little bit about you before we talk about South Shore Arts, and then I know later on we're going to talk about grant things. So,
sure.
So are you from the region originally?
I am. I started out on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
My dad was from southeast side. My mom was from Hyde Park. I was allergic to the environmental spewings of the steel mills, and so my parents had to move. They moved out to the country, which was Dyer at the time. So I'm in a really fun little video, Dyer, the First 100 Years, and I am interviewed on there because my dad was like one of the first commuters. He would commute to work, you know, when you didn't do that back then,
right,
back in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. So all because I had swollen glands.
Swollen glands got you to Northwest Indiana.
And then it got me back because of my mom being from Hyde Park. I ended up going to college at University of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So it's like back to my mom's roots there. So.
And what did you study in college?
Yeah, I was just going to say, art minor. So.
I have an art minor, but I actually have a degree in biological sciences, mm-hmm, from the University of Chicago. I stayed there for 15 years. First 10 years I was there, I worked for the Department of Emergency Medicine. And I actually worked for the two guys who made emergency medicine a specialty, Peter Rosen and Frank Baker. It was an awesome time, lots of fun. Helped found the University of Chicago Air Medical Network. I was on the task force for that. And lots of fun back then. So, and then you have kids and they go, Mom, you're like, only saw like 10 minutes of my little league game because you commute for an hour. So life changes. And then I came out here to work. So, and then I did hospital administration for like 28 years. And,
which hospital?
University of Chicago. And then I was, Methodist Hospital, and then I worked for Community Hospital for a while, and then I got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what was that part of my life I really enjoyed? I'm like, the arts, because I have a minor in art history, and I was on an advisory board for South Shore Arts, and their grants administrator was resigning, and they said, you know, you'd be really good at this, and I thought, yeah, I would. And I thought, okay, I could do that. And so I did. I really enjoyed it. It was the best move I made. My kids were grown up. It didn't matter anymore. And I went and did something that was more of a passion. Mm-hmm. So I think it is true that you need to follow your passion.
I think Esther and I, we were talking about that just before the show, that how many like doctors, lawyers, and things kind of go into the arts later in life because they've made their money, so to speak, and they then now pursue art.
Yeah, and then I think, one of the groups, Dyer Art Visionaries.
Oh, yes.
I think their president of their board is a dentist.
Yes.
Yeah, Jethro Smith, I believe, is a dentist.
Yes.
And then one of my favorite stories is when Einstein won the Nobel, for physics, with his money, he bought a new violin. Because he would go in, when he got stuck on one of his physics problems, he would go into the other room and play his violin and work through his problem and think.
So do you have an art discipline that you like?
No, I just enjoy enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my specialty. I like to look at your art, so and promote you guys or promote artists. And I think when I started in this position in 2007, I think there were about 13 grantees, and now I have 40.
Yeah.
And that's my job. My job is to get it out there
and
to
make
people.
It accessible.
Make it accessible. Mm-hmm. Let people know it's there. Let them know that we can support you and that there are funds for you to do what you like to do.
So. Well, before we get into the art grant, why don't we talk a little about South Shore, its development. It has a long history all the way back to the Northern Indiana Arts Association.
Northern Indiana Arts Association. I think it was in a little building on Holman Avenue
right.
in Hammond.
I've been there.
And actually, one of my cousins was one of their original board members, or one of their first board members way back when. And they started in the millinery department at Edward C. Minus. And I guess a bunch of artists would have their meetings in the hat department. And so I think that's how the first salon show came about.
Right.
So that's why we switched to having the bowler hat as our logo was because of the hat department at Edward C. Minus.
Oh,
so it kind of ties everything in and it makes it fun. And so I think we're at 1939.
Okay.
So we're at 79 years. I think
been around for a while.
Yeah, I can't do math that quick. And then the Northwest Indiana Symphony Their very first performance was on the night of Pearl Harbor in 1941, December 7th, 1941. Wow. And I believe they did have a different name back then.
They were the Gary Symphony.
Gary Symphony. Yes. So, and they've evolved. And I'm very proud to say that out of the all the orchestras in the area, they are the only unionized orchestra. So I think we have a really nice high caliber of musicians that belong to our organization.
You pulled quite a few of the musicians from Chicago, I know.
They're from Chicago, Chicago suburbs, Indiana, Southwest Michigan area.
Right.
So we
it's
have
a great experience.
Yeah, it is. And tonight, I think our Valparaiso concert sold out before our Highland concert tonight. So it is sold out. So no tickets at the door. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Highland was my old stomping grounds. I was the auditorium and theater director there from 79 to 92.
Until they have a beautiful auditorium. I think it's out of the
over
all
1,400.
1,400 people.
It was 1,462 when I was there. And one of the things I did, which I never got to enjoy, was to redesign some of the things. We took the two of the back rows out and did a few things. And also, one of my former students from Munster, Matt Damasica, is the auditorium director and theater director there, and helped them get that job.
Okay.
Kind of a legacy there.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that some of the schools build very small auditoriums. Crown Point built a very small auditorium.
And I'll tell you, they think about just what they're going to use it for and not for the rental potential.
Yes.
And then they lose out. I mean, Munster, we were over 1,000, so we were right on the cusp of being pretty decent size. But they build these small theaters thinking of their own usage and not about the possibilities of renting it. And I said that immediately about Crown Point.
A lot of us were affected by the closing of the Star Plaza Theater because you have these larger crowds. Like our Holiday Pops, we would sell out, and I think, what did Star Plaza seat, 3,200?
Yeah, but right around 3,200.
Yeah, 3,200. So even though we did two performances, one at Highland and one in Valpo, they still don't equal the 32. So right away, we're losing revenue there. So
I know.
I
remember when Southern Shore was taking over, before they took over, one of the proposals I sort of made to the symphony is that they should do their smaller concerts at schools.
Yes, instead of doing the classical concerts.
The classical concerts, because they were doing those back then at the Star Plaza. Yeah. It looked like a few people out for coffee. You know, 3,200.
a good look.
and the cost of doing that as opposed to doing the smaller theater. And I remember the idea was kind of, oh, no, we don't want to go to the high schools. And there was sort of that mentality.
Well, and the high schools are hard because they're beautiful auditoriums.
But the
community gathering space is lacking in ambiance, so you have a problem there.
At Munster, we had a good lobby space there.
Oh, you do. And Lakeshore Community Concerts does all their events there, and Christine Small does a great job in getting word out on that, and she's actually one of our grantees now.
I lobbied to get them there when they were still Hammond Community Concerts.
Oh, yes.
And I said, you know, and they were having trouble with scheduling in Morton. I said, if I give you a date, you will have the date.
Yeah.
I said, there won't be one of these things, oh, we can't do this now, or I got it. And so I worked hard to get the Lakeshore
Community. We have to lock you in.
No, and they expanded from 5 shows to 6 shows.
Yeah,
you know,
they do
a nice job. And so that was
one of people don't realize with, I think it's Lakeshore Community Concerts, Valparaiso Concert Association, and there's a Portage.
And LaPorte.
And the reciprocity is, I mean, you buy one ticket and you can go to all these performances.
Yeah, the only problem we sometimes had at Munster is we had to we always told the actual ticket holders, because technically they were sold out. Actually, one season they oversold. And I said, you can't ever do that again.
Yeah. People show up.
And if they all show up, but the reciprocity people would come and we'd have to wait like just 10 minutes before showtime before
them.
Seat them.
Oh, yeah.
Because we said, if we are out of seats, we're out of seats.
Yeah,
sorry.
That makes sense.
But
so.
We were the only one. Oh, Lakeshore was the only one that had that problem at that time. So well, let's get back to you, though.
Okay.
And so it's good to chat. By the way, you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. And we're with Donna Catalano here from South Shore Arts. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with South Shore Arts now. We hit it in our things, but maybe you can give some more in-depth things.
Mostly you talked about the Indie Windy program. And that exhibit runs, I think, through January 26th, I used to think. January 29th. But then the second half of that exhibit comes up, and that's called Urban Ruins, Haunts, and it's like photography of urban ruins in the area. So it's really kind of a cool project. You being a photographer, will you have a piece in that?
No, I don't think so.
You don't have a piece in that? It's pretty neat. People love to take pictures of ruins. In fact, mm-hmm. I think the Methodist Church in Gary is going to be considered an urban ruin garden or something, or park or something.
That's exciting.
It'll be official. People won't have to sneak in there like they do now.
No trespassing anymore.
Yeah, but this is this two-part exhibit was actually an exhibit that we received a grant from the National Endowment of the Arts.
Okay.
So we were able to do that, and it's so fun to see these guys like Ish Muhammad that you mm-hmm. talked about, or Felix Maldonado, or who's the other guy? I forget. Anyway, they start out as tagging. You know, they used to tag, you know, train cars and things like that and walls. And now they're bona fide artists that mm-hmm. some of them travel all over the world. They have their own gallery up in Chicago. And it's just, I just love seeing that.
I just read something about that railroad cars are going to, they're redesigning so that the lower portions of them are going to be blank with no information so they can be tagged.
Oh, how fun is that?
And it's going to take a while for them to get out, but, you know, putting all the data information up higher so that they can.
Tag away.
And we now accept this as part of the art of the world. So,
but it's nice to see that that's part of it.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've not seen one of those railroad cars, but I forget where I read that somewhere. But
So, and I think in January, because, you know, the arts kind of go quiet for the holidays.
Yes, they do.
There's no theater after, like, I think the 21st is the latest I've seen anything going on. The exhibits are up. And they'll run through, and then they all change out in January. So it gets hot. It gets, you know, gets running again. So we have our atrium exhibits, and we have our gallery. Then we have a space in Crown Point. We're on Indiana Avenue at the Artful. It's South Shore Arts at the Artful Garden, and it's a nice little space. We'd like to feature local, very local artists in that. And then we have the space at substation number 9 in Hammond. And we've kind of reserved that space for emerging artists who are just getting started, who, you know, are excited about having an exhibit. And then Bridget Covert, who is our gallery director, she also hangs art and does the shows at some local businesses. And one of them is Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Mm-hmm. So we'll move an exhibit like from our Crown Point Artful Garden over into Cafe Fresco and have the art up there, and it works out really well. And then we also hang the art at the Toll Theater for Jeff Casey, so that works out well.
I know we have talked about the Cafe Fresco also and had something. If I don't see it, you know, and remember, send your information to us so we can put it on the air.
Please. Forget, so much is going on that we're not talking about.
You can pull off my regional calendar.
I do, actually.
Actually, anybody that has an arts event, they if you email me your press release or just you know, Facebook message me or anything like that, it's donna@southshoreartsonline.org, and let me know what you're doing in Lake Porter or LaPorte County, and I include Illinois and what county is that? I always forget. Will or Lake?
Cook and Will are right next to us.
Yeah. So I try and include stuff like that from Union Gallery and Drama Club over in Chicago Heights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I try and, because, you know, it's just across the border. Yeah. And it's just across the border. And then if any of our local artists have a tie with something up in Chicago, like Ish Muhammad and Zao. I'll put their stuff up there. I mean, that's our guys. So we want them up there.
Well, I think that's it. The whole idea. In fact, when we had Miralee Jacoby Popovich on last week, she talked about marketing for individual artists and organizations mm-hmm. and how to use social media to do that. I know I'm a big believer in social media, and I'm out there pushing whatever I'm doing, and also with my organizations too. So, and even this show, Art on the Air.
You're brilliant at it.
Well, and since she's talking about marketing, one of the deadlines coming up, and this the application is live online at www.in.gov/arts, is the OnRamp Creative Career Accelerator. And it's a 3-day course where you learn how to promote your business as an artist. And at the end of that 3-day workshop, you can apply for a scholarship. And I think Chris Acton,
who
is a weaver and is at Chesterton Art, she received that scholarship. So she was able to take it a step further.
Her.
So, and she does, she's a weaver. So all sorts of art.
I tease her all the time about weaving another yarn, you know.
She does great work. I love, I don't know if you've ever been to, what is it? They have that Dunlin Weavers fashion show and sale.
I've not been to it, but she's talked about it.
Yeah, in November, every year. It's a yearly event, and it's phenomenal. I mean, if you want to get some one-of-a-kind clothing pieces, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's one of the people I have on our list as a guest. So.
Yeah, she's good. Oh, and then the other event or person for individual artists is it used to be called Individual Artist Grant, but now they call it the Individual Advancement Program. And it's for career development and grants for artists. And what it is so it, maybe you're, as an artist, you want to do that workshop out in New York that you never got to do, and you can, and why it'll further your career. You can do an application to try and get funds to do that. And I think last year, I have a list of who won last year. I know Desiree Simpson from Arts Alive was one of the recipients. I have all these.
And this is separate from like the artist grants.
This is separate.
This is
these
to more
are people
training.
Who get to spend money and go someplace and further their career. So
so just find a great thing, you know, in Hawaii or something
like
that.
Yeah, sure. We'll go to Hawaii and
want to do something about volcanoes and
And then another program that just got I think it was just paneled was the Arts in the Park.
Okay,
and
I saw that.
You have to have you, and that runs calendar year. So they you apply. I think deadline's in September, and you can apply as an individual or as an organization. And you have to do a program inside a state park or a state landmark. Which in our quadrant of the state, we don't have any official state landmarks, but we have one state park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we only have one park, but we still get six or seven people that receive funding for that. And I think they get $3,000 to do that.
Yeah, I just
program.
Saw, I think Becky
Jaskovia gets one, and her husband usually gets one. Christine Kanowski.
She
does she paints birds.
Birds.
And
finally detailed. Oh
my gosh,
is Becky Theater still?
Yes, it's Northwest Indiana Excellence in Theater Foundation.
Yes.
And they represent about 14 performing groups in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, so, and people don't realize that outside of Indianapolis, Region 1, which is Lake Porter and LaPorte counties, we re-grant the second highest amount of money in the state. The National Endowment of the Arts gives every state money based on per capita. And then each state, in order to receive those NEA funds, the state has to match that. So I think we get $1.3 million from the National Endowment of the Arts, so the state of Indiana has to match that $1.3 million. So the Indiana Arts Commission is actually a department of the state government. And they actually match that money and give a little bit more. So that's why we're able to do the Arts in the Parks and the Individual Artist Grant and the on-ramp program. So that helps a lot. But we are, last year we re-granted $245,000, $379. We were going through an accounting problem yesterday, and so I'm like, I've got that number in my head. So that's $250,000 that we re-grant to arts organizations. And people, you know, say, oh, I didn't know that was out there. I said, well, I want it to be out there. I want you to be successful. If you want to do anything or apply for any of these programs, please contact me. I will help you walk you through this, help you with your program. If you don't know what you want to fund, we can talk about that too. A lot of times you don't know what hidden gem you have in your own organization, and we can figure it out.
Sure. Yeah. And in the alternate years, like individual grants versus is that?
It changes every year. This year it is from artists with backgrounds in dance, music, literature, theater, and folk arts. So anything you're doing in those areas. I kind of terminology, it's like more performing arts.
Right, performing.
And then every other year it's visual arts.
Right.
So, and another success story, I don't know if you know Deborah Bolaños from Sociedad Cultural Civica, I can never say that.
Oh, I think I've met her on a handshake.
She does Mexican folklore dancing in East Chicago, right. And she has a school there. And I kept bugging her because I don't know if you know John Kay from Indiana University. He's with Traditional Arts Indiana. And traditional arts are the folklore or the fishnet making or making knife handles or woodworking. Those are called traditional arts. And he has an apprenticeship program for that. So he has an opportunity for people to apply to his program for you with your folk art or your traditional art to hire an apprentice for a year. And so Deborah applied for that, and she actually received funding for an apprentice about 2 years ago. And then this year she won the Indiana Heritage Fellowship. So she gets money for that now, too. And that resulted from her apprenticeship program. So,
I remember sitting on the Grant Council and reading her for her application, too. And for full disclosure, Donna convinced me to sit on the review panel, and is that we had 26 of those things to go through, and it was quite a bit of work. But also, it really made you aware of what's going on throughout Northwest Indiana and some of the not only new things but the ongoing things and what they're doing. So it's really, and I know probably next year when we go back to visual arts, I have a project I think I might apply for a grant.
Absolutely, with photography, absolutely. I know, because a lot of times we'll put things out there or I'll do a survey and ask questions about how do you hear about arts, and that we need to form this organization because there's no arts in Northwest Indiana. I'm like, what rock have you been living under?
It's
like, because we're extremely rich in the arts.
It's a wealth of artists.
Oh my gosh, I mean, everywhere you go. And I think what people are realizing, especially municipalities, is that arts are a big economic driver within your municipality. If you look at Valparaiso here, I mean, the things that have sprung up around the arts, even the ice skating rink inside of the vestibule there is a beautiful mural that I think the women of the Valparaiso chapter, Tri-Kappa, funded that. And our former education director, who is an artist, helped put that together. And they hired a mosaic artist to come in and help build that wall. So it's just beautiful. Or Memorial Opera House and how vibrant it is right now. And I know that the city of Valpo applied for a cultural art district. They didn't make it this year, but they're close. So
yeah, I think
next
close.
Round, they'll figure it out. And I think Michigan City, you have your Uptown Arts District. You have your First Friday Arts. It's vibrant, and it brings people into your community. They walk through your town. They walk through your shopping districts. They come to your art center. And the Indiana Arts Commission has started a new program called Arts Homecoming, which is a two-day workshop and conference for artists and arts organizations, and they just put a call out for hosting the Arts Homecoming for 2020. And Michigan City has, they're completing a proposal to ask to have and host that in your area. So
it'll be exciting.
Oh, yeah, it would. I mean, I love for people from other parts of the state to come in and see what we have. Going back to that on-ramp program, I wanted to mention that Chesterton Arts Center is going to host a workshop on that on-ramp program so you can see what it is if you're an artist. I think Wendy called me or emailed me last night and said they're going to do it on January 6th, which is a Sunday at 2 p.m. So if you're an artist and you're looking to be an entrepreneur, come on out to Chesterton Arts Center on January 6th.
Very good. Yeah, well, for full disclosure, I'm vice president of the board there.
You're everywhere.
Yes.
But the thing is about what we're thinking with Chesterton, and just as a side note, we're really trying to now step up the entire thing because we're like the number three gallery in Northwest Indiana.
Well, in Porter County, you're the lead.
And without counting Broward, which is a university-based gallery.
Yeah.
And so our vision is to really grow and be substantial. So I mean, we're looking forward to taking our place.
I was in Chesterton a couple of weeks. I think, I don't know if it was our regional arts council meeting or not, and I thought I had some time to kill, and I thought I'm going to go run over to Chesterton Art and see what exhibit they have. Well, they were taking an exhibit down, putting another exhibit up, and then having some kind of luncheon for somebody. I'm like, it was so vibrant there. I mean, I walked in and it was just...
I think it's when we had the teacher's appreciation luncheon in the
was.
Back room.
Yes,
yeah, I was there in the back room.
It was. So it was like all these people hustling around and moving and art going in and out, and it's like, this is really feeling good.
And the Chesterton Art Fair, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Just that's growing. Cool. Yes. And
Well, and our commitment, just talk one more thing about Chesterton is now we made Wendy full-time.
Yes.
She's been working full-time.
I know.
But now we've made her officially full-time.
That's what artists do.
As our commitment to actually making it happen. So,
well, and that's one of the things that we have to go through the budget process with the state legislature. And this coming session is a budget year. So they only do budget year every other year. And this is a budget year. And we're like, talk to your state legislatures. Let them know how important the arts are to your community. You know, we're always asking for a little bit more, money. But one of the things that we always tell our state legislatures is that you give us a dollar and you'll get $1.30 out of that money that you give us, because we always give more. We always do more with the money than you could ever dream of. So I'm very proud of the fact that's what happens.
Very good. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're streaming on WVLP.org, and also this show will be repeated on Monday at 5 p.m. And so we're listening here to Donna Catalano. She's from the South Shore Arts, and she's really the grant lady, if you want to talk about it. You know, special projects thing's a nice title, though.
And that's the one we got to get down to the nitty gritty. That's the big grant process right now is what they call the Regional Initiative Grants, and that's the grants that last year we gave out 40 grants, 26 project grants. And we have what they call arts organization grants. So there's three levels of grants that you funding that you can apply for. The first would be arts organization support 2, and that is those are driven by what your operating cash income is. So if you have an operating income of over $250,000 a year over a 3-year average, you can apply for AOS 2 support and ask for up to $20,000. Those are arts organizations where your main mission of your organization is arts. The second level of granting is arts organizations 1. Again, your mission, arts is in your mission, and your cash operating income is $50,000 up to $250,000. And those are due, those grants are all due March 5th. And then the third category is art project support, and that is for smaller arts organizations that have an operating income under $50,000 or non-arts organizations that do arts projects. For example, I think one of those, a Tall Tree Arboretum, did it for a music series that they had. Some of the local colleges use them. I know IUN had it when they opened their medical arts building, and they had that grand opening, and they hired a symphony, and they did all that. So that was a project that that got funded. Michigan City Chamber Music Festival is an art project, because even though they're an arts organization, their operating income is under $50,000. Cherville, for bringing symphony into the park in the summer, that's an art project. Munster Parks does it for their Heritage Music Festival. Deborah Silvert has a group called Duo Sequenza that performs at Memorial Opera House. And she is not a 501c3, but she uses Porter County Community Foundation as her fiscal agent, and then she funds her art project that way. And then, I mean, there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, also important.
Yes, also important. So one of my goals this year is to get a few more Michigan City people. I talked to Footlight Players.
Oh,
They really should be doing a grant. Footlight Players, Jerry Peters Theater. What was that, Canterbury?
Yeah. Canterbury, it's right next door to me.
Yeah, it used to be Main Street Theater, and now they call it Canterbury.
Went back to the Canterbury.
Yes.
Yeah, which is what everybody knows them as anyway. Or Festival Players Guild.
I think
was that what, was
their grant name was called. And so
they're
to,
fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, we want to see those people. Mm-hmm. And we want to see them work out. But one of the hardest areas to tap into, and if anybody in the audience can help me with this, is the rural areas. Everybody always thinks of urban blighted areas as being underserved. Well, our rural areas are very underserved in the arts. I don't know. I mean, think about it. In Couts or La Crosse or Hebron, I don't have anything. Lowell, Schneider, all those places. I'd like to find somebody out there that's doing something arts related that we can get on board with the grants.
Well, just go ahead and give them your contact. We'll do this again.
Sure.
But your contact information.
My contact information is Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at SouthShoreArtsOnline.org. And you can email me. I will answer anything. The guidelines and application process goes live today on www.in.gov/arts. And then on the left-hand column, you'll see an area that says programs. Click on that, and it'll show you all the arts grant opportunities that you can apply for. So,
very good.
Keep going.
So let's talk about the process. So you're, let's take an individual artist, and you're looking to do a grant. Now this time it's going to be more for performing arts related things.
Yep.
So like you're saying, okay, I got whatever project and.
Well, say I'm an actor, and you know what? I'm really lacking in my Shakespearean skills. Maybe you want to go to a week-long workshop on acting, or maybe you want to go work in a small theater with a special director or producer that you've always wanted to work with and to further your career. So you could do something like that. Or say you want to go work with an indigenous peoples or native peoples in your area, and you want to do something for them, you can apply like that.
And so I know you have the website, but maybe talk through the process. Now what do I do? I have to go to this website. And I know you'll be the fallback if they have a question.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You go to the website, and then if you go in there, you will make sure, go into Region 1, which is my area, and then my contact information is there. And then everything is online now. So all the application process is online. Most of the questions are, on Word. You can do it in Word and then transfer it over and keep it. You save it and you hit submit. Or you can email and say, hey, Donna, I filled out this grant application. I really want you to take a look at it before I hit the submit button.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that for you. But just give me some time. Don't say, the grant is due at 4:30 this afternoon.
Can
you kind of take a look at this and see if it's, good to go? And the other thing is I call and I'll meet with you. If you're unsure of what to do or where to go or who to contact or whether something you're thinking about doing qualifies, give me a call.
I have
a phone number too, 219-836-1839, extension 104.
Give that to it one more time because it's radio.
836-1839, extension 104, and that's area code 219.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great way to get on the grant process. Mm-hmm. Should you wordsmith? I could talk to you, but let's say you're thinking about it. Maybe sit down and maybe wordsmith a little bit of proposal before you start trying to do the grant. Or
I think you should always do that. I think put your thoughts together on paper. So that you have some notes. Know what. Like with the project grants, which is out of all the categories, that's our largest category. We had 26 recipients, and Larry read every single one of those when he paneled them. We're big enough, we're going to split that in two panels this year. but think about your project and say, okay, is anybody else doing this? Is this something everybody's doing? For a while, I think, remember all the canvas parties. That was the hot art thing. And now I think there's some boards and brushes things. And, and think about what you're doing. But mostly, we want to see that you're taking that out to your community. And one of the things that the Indiana Arts Commission is concerned about is community engagement. And we just, with the Regional Arts Council, we just kind of piggybacked on a program that the Legacy Foundation did in Lake County called On the Table,
okay,
where you got people together and you talked about things that were of concern to you in where you live. So we took it a step further and say, okay, for community engagement, which is always a question in your grant application, how do you engage your community? And say, well, we put on a performance, you know, build it and they'll come. And it's like, that's not what right. community engagement is. Community engagement is you going out to your community and say, hey, what do you want to see? What is of interest to you? What makes you happy? What do you think would be some music that you wanted to hear? That's engaging your community. It's not that build it and you'll come and, oh yeah, we're, you know, who wants to, you know, how many times can you do Mahler? You know, maybe once somebody wants to see something a little different. And of course everybody wants, you know, pops things, but you know, that gets into copyright and
right.
and costing lots of money to rent, as you know, with theatrical
oh,
productions.
Sure.
Yeah. So it changes things. But you want to bring to your community things they need and that they want to see. And not that and when we do interactions like that, we say, you know, don't invite your board members. We already know your board members support you. Invite some people that maybe don't come. Ask one of your board members if they have a, you know, somebody that they know doesn't come to things, and find out why. What are we not doing that you'd like to see? And sometimes you can work that in, sometimes not, but it gives you a different insight as to what's happening in your community.
Very good. So you go through the online process, mm-hmm. And like I said, I've seen the other side of the application for the project grants. It's like, wow.
Right. Well, and it's nice because the AOS2s are lucky because of their applications are a little heftier.
Right.
They only have to apply every other year.
Okay.
So they get a two-year process with their application on AOS2s and then AOS1s. But everything is due March 5th. So I always suggest to people, have it done at least by the end of February if you want me to look at it.
Right.
Or if you want me to look at it along the way, I'll do that too. It doesn't matter. I can it's one of those things about online is I can do that when I'm, you know, at home having a cup of coffee or something. I can sit down and read a grant and look through it. So I like that. After they are submitted, I have to put together grant panels. And grant panels are five or six peers who read your grant and they grade it. And the Indiana Arts Commission has, in the guidelines, which are also available on the website I gave, on the guidelines, it'll tell you what you'll be graded on education, on community engagement, on fiscal responsibility, on board, what do you call it? Having a good board and diversity and things like that. So we'd like to see all those things. And after what we do is after we put together the panels will come together, all five of them, and they will each go through your grant and grade it. And then the grading, your funding depends on your grading. And not the level of funding that you get, but that whether you're you have to score like over 75 to get funded. Mm. That's kind of what we do. We have, I think we had one grant applicant last year that was not funded, and he was only one point away. So I made a point to meet with him and say, hey, just because you weren't funded this year, I want to see you back next year. And it's one point. We can do this.
Yes.
You know, let's do this. Let's get this out there. So,
what are some of the pitfalls that you've seen for people applying for a grant that cause them not to get a grant?
Last year was like the first one I haven't had somebody make it. I mean, usually we've talked about it enough. Once in a great while, I don't remember the last one that wasn't funded other than that one. There was one a couple years ago, because you have they weren't together enough. You really have
right.
to show that you're a cohesive organization, that you're doing good works, that your planning is good, that your board is good, and not just be somebody that goes out and does performances. Are you educating the community? Are you doing anything educational that coincides with that.
So. Now, for individuals who don't have boards or anything, they're just hanging themselves out there by themselves.
So the biggest drawback that I and the most criticism I ever see when it's somebody's on a grand panel is grammar and spelling. Honest to gosh, people
and not following what you specify that you want to know about,
and being consistent. So anytime you write a grant, and whether you're an individual or an organization, you need at least two other sets of eyes to read that grant, because we all know when you proofread your own work, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So, and deadlines matter.
Yeah, and deadlines matter. Mm-hmm. I've had people that call and say, "Oh my gosh, I missed it by 1 minute." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know. Before, when it was not electronic, didn't matter. You know, as long as it was on my desk by a certain day. Now electronic, they literally shut that off at, you know, March 5th, 3:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. For a couple years, it was everybody kind of knew that the grant online system was housed in Colorado, so they knew 3:30 really meant 5:30. So they figured that out real quick, so it was kind of funny.
So can you print it out ahead of time to use as a worksheet? It's not just only
some
online.
Yeah, people do that. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, and it's. Yeah, you can print out at different levels.
Because sometimes you can.
Yeah, and it has, you know, save, and then you can go back in and work on it again. Or some people have different people in their organization do different sections. Your education director might do something. Your finance person fills in something, that sort of thing. So.
Well, the grant process is kind of daunting, but it's I know speaking with Donna, one of the things she told me is her mission is to make sure she gets money to people. That's I mean, it's not a matter of withholding money from things. So that's good that you're there as a resource. Now, explain how the regions work. We're in Region 1, so I know years ago you used to apply directly to the state.
Yes. What they did, and that's the requirement of the National Endowment of the Arts, is that you get this money out to every county in your state. So the Indiana Arts Commission thought, well, what better way to get money out to people is to have people in charge of their own areas that they live in. Somebody in Indianapolis doesn't know what somebody does up in Miller or Michigan City, and they don't know the background that goes along with it. And that's why your panelists are also from your area. I think they require that one of my panelists not live in my geographical area, so that there's a little bit different perspective.
Right.
We just, you know, that we have three counties, and so outside of Indianapolis, Region 1, which is Lake, Porter, and LaPorte County, which is my area, we have the second highest density population. So I'm busy. We're very busy, and I have a map here that you can't see on radio that shows that our how many grants that we have, and there's areas and counties that aren't reached, and those are usually very rural areas that don't have any grants because there isn't anything going on. And so, like I said, if you know of a rural area, it's not in my area, if you know of somebody, email it to me, and I'll get in contact with their person in their district or region.
You know, Northwest Indiana, I've used it a lot of times when I do pledging on that other radio station, represents about 700,000 people, which is the size of Indianapolis. Oh, my gosh, there are big gaps.
The pink ones, I think, show of no people that where grants did not reach.
Yeah.
But look, and the white is highly, like five or more. So I'm always white in my area. So.
Yeah, Donna's showing us a map of Indiana and showing the, what is it, 12 regions?
Yes, we have 12 regions.
And it's either white where they're getting a fair number of grants, gray where they're getting some grants, and there are quite a few counties
that are pink.
That are pink or red, and they get no grant funding. So it's amazing that the money is there and not being utilized.
Yeah, and especially up here, two counties that border on our area is Newton and Stark. So if you know of anybody in Newton or Stark County has anything arts programming or anything, have them call me or contact me, and I'll lead them in the right direction.
Fantastic. So just off this subject for a little bit, you ran for political office.
Yes, I did. I'm definitely an extrovert.
So tell us about that experience. This is something completely different.
It was completely different. It's one of those things that's kind of on your bucket list.
Okay.
And you thought, and I've always dabbled in it. And I thought, nobody was running for this particular office, and it was a municipal election. And I thought, I can do this. So I did it. I had a really, actually, for my very first time out, never having done it before, I lost by just a couple hundred little votes.
Wow.
I literally made a map bought a map from the Lake County government system of Crown Point, Indiana, and I literally knocked on every door in Crown Point, probably myself. It's like, it was daunting. But you know what? I mean, you just do it, and it's a lot of fun. So I carried that on in this past midterm election. I campaigned for several successful candidates, and I go out and walk a neighborhood on a Saturday afternoon, and I just enjoy knocking on those doors and talking to people.
So would you run again?
Will I run again? Probably. Yeah. You never know. Nothing's out of the question.
Keep it on your bucket list, right?
Keep it on your bucket list, yes.
So if you would get elected to that office, you would still be able to work for South Shore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. Elected officials don't have to do 9-to-5 hours.
Right.
But, you never know. All depends. That door's open.
Yeah. Well, the big question always is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? People ask me that now. I says, I'm kind of happy where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm doing stuff.
I do love what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, what better job can you have than giving away money?
Oh, no kidding.
I know. Everybody loves you. I'm their best friend.
And you get to work with John Cain.
I get to work with John, who's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And what we do is fun. I mean, we're always.
You might say that South Shore, you're raising Cain.
I like that.
I think I've said that to him myself.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, but I mean, I do. I work with people like you. I get to go out to Michigan City. One of the things I do for workshops and to get to know people and bring arts people together is 4 times a year I do what they call an artist chamber luncheon.
Right.
And it's sort of like a chamber of commerce for artists and arts organization and patrons. And I travel it. I do one in each county, and then I do the grant award luncheon. So this next one, will be February 12th at Asparagus in Maryville. And come on out, talk about whatever you do artsy, and join us for lunch.
I know. Don't you have 1 minute to tell what you're doing? Those things you have everyone talk.
Yeah, everybody gets a 1 minute commercial. And if it's a small crowd, I let you talk till you want.
My so problem is always, I was like, okay, now which group am I representing and who will I talk about?
Oh, and I'm okay with that because I belong to several chambers myself. And since I have 2 organizations, I put on my symphony hat, and I put on my Indiana Arts Commission hat, and then I put on my South Shore Arts hat. So it's like, I get 3 minutes.
I run into that problem. I said, do I talk about my photography or do I talk about which organization? It's a tough little thing.
With my group, it's so informal. Talk about whatever you want.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
So come have lunch with us. It usually runs, I think, about $25, and we're usually there. We start networking at 11:30, and we get out of there 1:32.
Right, yeah. And it's a great way to mix and mingle with other people in the arts and everything like that.
Well, and one of the things that the Indiana Arts Commission really values is collaboration,
right,
amongst different arts organizations and artists. And I can't tell you how many collaborations have come out of those luncheons.
That's fantastic. I know I've met a lot of people. I met Christina for doing the art, and then got into the birding thing where I said one of my things for the dunes thing. Yeah, it's amazing, and that's how I probably got on too many boards. So
yes, it is. I know. You saw my resume.
Yeah.
Yeah, they start lining up.
They start lining up like that. Mm-hmm. So, well, anything else you want to wrap up with as we're getting to the end?
Just call me. Let me know if you're looking for money. It's Donna@SouthShoreArtsOnline.org. Give me an email. Shoot me an email. I have South Shore Arts has a Facebook page. Private message me. I'm okay with that too.
Fantastic. Well, we had
Donna, excellent. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Donna Catalano from South Shore Arts and also represents the symphony. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank her today for being here talking about Grant. We're heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. With your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WELP station manager and our engineer on the show today. And if you're interested in being a guest, please contact us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And next week we have Robert Swan, and he's
I love Robert too.
Yeah, Robert's fantastic.
Harbor Country Opera.
Opera.
Yes.
Right. So that's tune in and you'll hear that. And thank you so much for listening to Art on the Air.